Hello everybody and welcome back to Starting From The Pits. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to give a quick rundown of today's guest, because for those who are still new to endurance racing, this week we have Ben Barnacote. Ben races in IMSA, which is an American endurance racing series. He drives for Lexus Racing USA and is racing the number 14 in the GTD Pro for Vassar Sullivan. For a bit of context before we go in, Ben recently won the Sebring 12-hour race and I was really excited to speak to him about this win. Enjoy!
There we go.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Where are we joining you from today?
I just got back to the UK, so I'm in in my house in Chesterfield. I got back yesterday from America. Was here last night, here tonight, and then on the road again from tomorrow for a few weeks. So that's how this how it all works. But yeah, good, thank you. How about you? Where are you based?
At Preston, Lancashire.
Oh, okay, yeah, not too far away then.
Not too bad, yeah. Very north, very far away from everybody, it seems.
Well, I'm Sheffield, so I'm also a northerner. I think we've got it good up here.
So, welcome to Starting From The Pits. It is great to have you here. I must say, before we get into anything, congratulations on the win.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Firstly, you know, obviously, I heard actually Hainoff give you the shout-out. I think you posted on your LinkedIn page, so that's... knew who you were before signing up to come on the show, and then thank you for that. Obviously winning the 12 hours, a huge accomplishment, probably the most historic sports car race in America. I know Daytona's kind of one that everyone wants to get because it's got a cool trophy with the watch, but I think Sebring potentially has a bit more history, so yeah, really, really happy to get that one on my CV.
Yeah. It's such a cool track as well. Like, everybody's all about respecting the bumps and all of that. I love the whole atmosphere around it. What are the bumps actually like? Are they that bad?
Yeah, they're brutal, to be honest. They're a real test of man and machine. And, you know, a 24-hour race as a driver, you typically... It depends if you do it as a 3 or a 4 driver crew. So this year, we did it as a 4. But, I mean, we didn't finish the race. Last year, did it as a 3. So that means you do 8 hours of driving. Whereas at Sebring, you know, you're down to a 3 and you do 4. Yeah. And you feel worse for wear after doing 4 hours of driving around Sebring than you do doing 8 hours around Daytona being completely rest. Jack and I both said we woke up on Sunday and, you know, it's like we've just been on a massive night out. We're just completely drained. So fatigued. But worth every bit of effort to get that result.
Yeah. What do you kind of do to get over that feeling of being like you've been beaten up?
Well, you just gotta chill out and drink as much water as you can. And We had a couple of alcoholic beverages to celebrate the win as well, which probably didn't help. But you know, you never know when then those kind of moments are going to happen again, and you gotta enjoy it and live for the moment.
Yeah, love that. So when you first started the race weekend, then did you have full expectations of going in and winning that, or was it sort of like, what was the vibe before you went into the race?
Well, for us this year, it was actually a vibe looking for some redemption. I don't know if you watched Daytona or not, but The entire Vassar Sullivan Lexus organization had a disaster at Daytona. We started that weekend really well. Both cars qualified well. Jack was starting front row in GTD Pro and Park was pole in GTD. And I had a great opening stint, going to lead of the race, and then did a driver change to Mike Conway at the first pit stop. And then he got caught up in an incident with an LMP2 car, which was completely out of his hands, wrong place, wrong time. So that was... 14 cars race ruined, and then the 12 guys in the GTD were still having a good race with there, and then got the engine blew up and they set on fire last hour. It was kind of like, for our mentality was right, you know, we've had a bad Daytona, but that doesn't mean the year's over. We just gotta, you know, we were champions last year, we know how to do this, we've had a good year, we've proved we can be champions, let's just kind of keep that mindset and keep going, which is obviously tough because I think we're a very passionate team. We definitely wear our emotions much stronger than other teams in the pit lane. I feel like, you know, if we win, we party hard, and if we have a bad one, we're sad, you know, because it just means a lot to us. And we kept that mentality going into Sebring. We had a really good test a few weeks before the race, which was positive. But then when we got to the track, it was so much hotter when we were racing than when we were testing that we started to keep working hard and keep finding improvements. But I think as soon as Jack got pole on Friday, you know, we knew we had a good shot at it. We just got, you know, one thing we're lucky to have at Vassar Sullivan is we've had a lot of continuity since I joined in 2022. Same driver, same mechanics, engineers. So, everyone knows their job. And as soon as we know we've got kind of the speed to do it, we always feel pretty confident. So, but it's also IMSA racing and anything can happen. So you do need to be chosen a little bit to succeed, which we were. We had a few things fall our way. The way the yellows were at the end of the race kind of gave us the advantage over the Rexy Porsche. And then obviously at the end, Jack did a great overtake to beat the 62 Ferrari. So yeah, we knew we had what it took, but it's just a matter of putting it all together.
Yeah, definitely. So how does having a win like that then translate into your racing going to the next one?
Well, as I touched on, we had such a bad Daytona that we were in a bit of a hole in the championship, and obviously we're defending champions. We want to repeat that success. So now it's kind of put us right back in the championship hunt. So that almost relieves a lot of pressure from that side of it that, we're expected to deliver another championship to Lexus. We've done it once. It's like now we've got to do it again. So it relieves a lot of pressure that we're not in a hole as such anymore. We're kind of right back there in the points. We are heading to Laguna Seca for the next race of GTD Pro, which is a track for us, which normally is our weakest track of the year. Never really suited the Lexus, but this year it's been resurfaced. We saw the IndyCar race down the new surface last year, and it's much faster, much grippier. So it's a little hard to know how we're going to stack up at that race right now. But it's just so great to have all that negative energy and stuff that was left at Daytona put behind. All the team now are on a big high. Everyone's got that race winning feeling. To put those extra hours in and give us the best car we can heading to Laguna.
Love that. You just carry that momentum over, don't you? And then that just blossoms from there, I guess.
Yeah, massively. No one can really, it's so hard to describe how good a race win feels. That adrenaline rush, the lift of emotion you have. But that's not only just to us as drivers. There's such a big team behind us at Lexus and Sullivan. It gives that energy to each and every one of them, which is so important to, I think we saw that really, like, although we won the 2023 championship, that we actually won Petit Le Mans in 2022 and last race of the year, and that kind of energy and buzz really fueled our program throughout the winter to give us, such a strong start to the year last year and give us that championship run. So although Daytona kind of didn't really work out for us, like, this has given us that same buzz now to kind of crack on and hopefully repeat success in 24.
Perfect. I love it. And that livery that you've got, that special livery, unreal. I bet you don't want to get rid of
No, we've got
that.
a great record with special liveries on the number 14 at Sullivan. We had a special one for Long Beach last year, which was our first one of the season in 23 as well, which was really cool. And then, yeah, it was awesome to have the Mobil 1 50th anniversary livery on the car for the Mobil 1 Sebring 12 hours. It kind of, again, it was just another little bit that made it extra special. And yeah, I really don't want to get rid of it. It looked awesome. Got some great photos and videos. And yeah, I guess that just makes it all the bit more special for the memory books. That photo is gonna look great somewhere in my house whenever I get it printed and put up.
Yeah, definitely. And the photographers do such a great job as well. I remember seeing there was a video on your page and it was the brake disc glowing or something like that in the
Yeah.
wheel. I thought that looks so cool because you don't see that in any other normal racing.
No, I mean, and there's so many talented videographers, photographers out there these days. And as they're out there kind of getting those shots, and it just makes it, to be able to. It was actually the Sebring was the first time I'd had a videographer sort of helping me out a little bit. We always have that at Lexus, but me personally, a guy called Adam Cosgrove, who I've just become friends with since, I kind of live in America for a lot of the time and then come back to the UK when I can. And he's someone that I've become friends with in America. And it was really awesome to be able to have that. At the time when you kind of ask someone to do that, it's more you're just thinking, trying to tick all the right boxes for your sponsors and partners and get them the social media kind of coverage they deserve for what they do for us to get us on track. But then actually having all that kind of, such a special moment documented, like a nice little video to round out your weekend, and having that forever is so nice. Yeah, obviously they're very good at what they do. I couldn't do it, so for that, grateful
You're
that
in the car,
you
obviously you can't do
did. Well, even if I wasn't in the car, I still wouldn't be able
it. So
to
you've
do it.
obviously got quite a lot of wins to your name now. I've had a look on, like social and things like that. There's a lot going on there. How does this rank compare to the other ones?
Yeah, I think this definitely slots in as number one race win of my career. Before that, it was Petit Le Mans in 2022, which again was in many ways a bit of a harder race. We probably didn't have quite such good pace at Petit Le Mans, but we still kind of got the job done. Whereas this one, I think, emotions are such a big part of human nature, right? And coming off the back of a tough Daytona to be able just to turn it around. And the last kind of half of our race at Sebring was just everything went so right. At the start, we picked up a drive-through penalty, and we had a couple of setbacks. So then it was like, right, everyone just has to get this right from here on in, and nail it for us to get to the front and get to the lead and stay there. So I think just that whole team effort, right, of like Kyle did a great job, engineers, mechanics, and then I had a good stint, got to the lead, and then Jack got in and Jack dropped back a little bit, and then he did that amazing overtake to get back to the win. Just that kind of emotional roller coaster that we're all on together as a group. So definitely slots it in as number one. And as I said, it's probably the most historic race, the one that has the most I think, like I said, I think it was the 72nd anniversary, whereas Daytona's been running for 62 years now. You know what I mean? So it just a lot of depth, and yeah, it's kind of the big one, and sort of feel like I've only really got Daytona left to tick off my list in America, and then I've won all the big endurance races, so that'll be nice, and hopefully can get it done one day.
So let's kind of take you back to the start of your career. You started off in single seaters in that sort of route to things. Obviously, with that, it's very much there's one car going around the track, you're all racing against each other. How was the transition going from just one category to having like three, four categories racing against each other?
Yeah, so I mean, as you said, I started out in open wheel single seaters. I was very lucky to have the support of a foundation called the Racing Steps Foundation, who funded the careers of British drivers that they believed had the talent but not the ability, and I was one of several on that program. There's Oliver Rowland, formerly Jake Dennis, formerly world champion, James Calado, who's now Ferrari Hypercar Le Mans winner, so I was very lucky to be a part of that for a start, and they gave me my chance to even become a professional driver and give me that step into single seaters, which I think everyone here will tell you, pretty much everyone you talk to in sports cars will say they start out with a dream of being a Formula One driver, and then for whatever reason it doesn't work out, and we all have to take a bit of a sidestep into sports cars. And that was just the same thing that happened to me. The foundation had kind of felt like they'd served their time and purpose for everyone. We all got that cut funding at the same time, myself, Jake, Oliver, and in that moment it's quite a hard, not a hard thing to accept, right, because you're still very fortunate to be going and racing in GTs and sports cars. But when you have this dream of Formula One and it kind of then becomes a reality that that's not going to really happen for you anymore, it is a little hard to accept. But then I think in sports cars, I very quickly discovered and learned that I found a good place for myself. Going from being in your own car, like you said, you kind of almost control your own destiny. You get the pedals set perfectly where you want on the steering wheel, all the setup, everything's around you, right? And then you suddenly go into an environment where you've got to cater to three of you. But I was very lucky. My first year, I joined McLaren GT immediately. I'd been a part of their Formula One Young Driver program, so we had a lot of connections to McLaren. So it was a very quite seamless step into that program for me, and I had very good teammates. My first year, I had Rob Bell, who's now still with McLaren and been with McLaren forever. Alvaro Parente, who's like an incredibly quick Portuguese driver, and then Colm Lettegaal. So I was literally, and those guys had all won championships the previous year before I joined. So I had a real good like bringing into it. I had great people around me to learn from and sponge it all in. Like these things you say about different categories and stuff like that. Of course, it's different, and at first you're like, "Wow, what's going on here?" But I had great people to learn from, so it wasn't too hard. And I did sports cars in Europe for my first sort of 3 or 4 years. GT World Challenge Europe, formerly known as Blancpain, for quite a while. Did a bit of European Le Mans and Asian Le Mans series before taking a step into IMSA with Lexus. And yeah, IMSA was just a bit of a step up on it all, to be honest. Just the level of professionalism, the wildness of the races, that was, you think you kind of have it a bit crazy there, and then you come over here and you saw how mad it was at the end of a 12-hour race. You don't really get that in Europe, so there's still a lot to learn when you get here. But I've honestly loved it, and I think I'm very grateful to be here now and winning races. I think I'd rather choose winning big races like this in a GTD Pro Car than being at the back of an F1 grid, being completely honest, because
Yeah, that's
winning,
fair. Yeah, definitely. How does it differ racing in Europe to in America then?
I think it's just a different rule set, that makes it so exciting. Obviously, we do have great tracks in Europe, but typically we have a bit more runoff, and there's the margins are, I'd say, are bigger. Like in
Yeah.
America, a lot of the tracks, it's like Sürücher, there's big bumps. You get on the wrong place, the bumps can have consequence in a big crash, or there's never really these tarmac runoffs like you see in Formula One and stuff. So I like that buzz and that thrill of that you really have
Yeah.
to deliver to do a good lap time. And then just the rules, right? Like, I think we've seen, take Le Mans for example. There's been numerous times where teams have won that by a lap or 2 laps, or you never really get that excitement at the end of the race of that,
Yeah.
wow, this is coming down to the wire. And then I don't think I've seen a single IMSA race yet where you're not on the edge of your seat with 20 minutes to go after 12 hours of racing. So I just love that element of it, and I think that's just something that they've got working really well, and makes it special racing.
So I thought it'd be quite fun to let the listeners get to know you a bit more, just outside of racing. So I've got some quick fire questions that, yeah, we're going to try and get to know what kind of person you are. Are you ready?
Hey, hopefully not too personal. Let's go.
So are you a morning or nighttime person?
Nighttime.
Any
Awful.
pre-race rituals?
Go for a nervous wee about 5 times.
Love that. You said not too personal.
Well, that's about all I've got going.
Are you a good cook?
Not bad. My girlfriend's teaching me. I'm getting better.
Do you have a signature dish?
Probably stir fry, a lot of veg, chicken, stir fry.
Yeah, stir fries are very good for a signature dish. You can't go wrong.
Exactly.
Do you prefer dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Do you have a dog?
Yeah, my mum and dad have a dog. I don't personally have one, it, but fortunately, I couldn't look after it or take
Okay.
it with me here, there,
Obviously.
everywhere.
Do you have any other hobbies other than racing? Well, it's not really a hobby, it's a job, but.
Honestly, nothing. I don't have enough time to be that committed to anything else. It's, yeah, racing's life, sadly.
You have any TV recommendations?
Oh, Slow Horses on Apple TV. That's a good one.
Ooh, what's that about? I've never heard of that.
It's kind of like a bit of a MI5 agent thing. It was the last thing I watched.
Okay.
Mike Conway, who raced with us at Daytona, actually recommended it to me. That was fantastic. Really good, kind of like bit of comedy, bit thriller. Yeah, it's good, good. Well, I say comedy, it's not that comedy, but there are funny bits in it. But really
Right.
enjoyed that one.
Cool. Nice one. And Spotify or Apple Music?
Spotify.
As you should, that is the right answer.
Yeah.
And off the back of that, what is your most recently played song?
Let me have a look. Let's bring it out. I think it's the song off of what's the movie Saltburn? I can't remember the name of it.
Murder on the Dance Floor.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's number one on my favorites at the minute. Yeah, there we go.
Love that.
Go.
To be fair, that's a great like celebration song as well. So again,
Yeah, I just had them all jamming on the way back from Sebring to Miami the other day. I think I was like, oh, I like that one. I'll add it to my add it to my favorites.
perfect. Well, that's I feel like we've got a good vibe of what kind of person you are there. That was great.
Oh well, hopefully people don't think I'm too boring and a bit of a side to me other than a race helmet and a Lexus race car.
Yeah, no. So finally, where I know you said mentioned it earlier, but where are you next racing and what can we expect from that race?
So next race in GTD Pro for IMSA is Laguna Seca, which is my next scheduled race right now, unless something pops up. So yeah, obviously we're going in there a few points behind the Paul Miller BMW. The Rizzi C car, which is actually in the championship at the minute, luckily is only doing the endurance races. So for the overall title, we haven't really got to think about them. So I guess our goal is to try and get top step of the championship, whether that's with another race win or Jack and I have actually got an incredible podium record in IMSA. So I think we've been out of the last like 21 races, I think we've been on the podium 18 times or 17 times.
Wow.
Yeah, obviously we just kick that off with a win. Hopefully try and get that run going again. Yeah, that'd be the aim and the target. Just, podiums, points, all makes big prizes at the end of the year. So And sadly, not sadly, but we'll be back to our neon yellow and black Vassal livery,
Yeah.
signature livery. So that's our identity. Everyone knows us. I love the neon yellow. That's always been my color on my race helmet. So
Okay.
yeah, we're back being loud and proud and getting this, like I said, going for the championship and hopefully getting back on top of the points.
Love that. Laguna Seca, that's the one with the corkscrew, isn't it?
It is,
That's terrifying.
yes, it is pretty terrifying. You're right, especially when you
Yeah.
do like 80 miles an hour or whatever we go around there at. It's such a historic track, Monterey, California, absolutely incredible part of the world for anyone who's ever thought about going there. Such like real nice countryside vibes. Corkscrew, obviously one of the most famous corners in the world, and it's a bit of a weird one, the corkscrew. Everyone's like, oh, what's it like? You know, what's it like? And you kind of, once you've done it a few times, you sort of become a bit naive to it. It doesn't feel that much
Yeah.
as it was. But yeah, those first couple of laps, you come around there, you get up the top of the hill, you turn left, and it's like, wow, there's nothing in front of me. You know, it is a real, the trick to it is there's a few trees as you turn left, and you pick a tree, you kind of aim for that. And once you drop down, you can see where you're going again. So, but once you've done it 5 or 6 times, you get the hang of it. But really looking forward to going back there. Getting back with my team, you know, like I said, I think we're very lucky at Vassal and got such a good team vibe. We all get along really well, like all the crew, mechanics, engineers, they're genuinely really good friends as well as colleagues. We always make a big effort to hang out a lot, do fun stuff away from the track, and again, that just strengthens everyone's relationships and makes everyone dig that little bit harder for each other. And you can't ask more of people than giving it their all.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I love that sort of team mentality that you all got. It sounds like it's all coming together nicely.
Yeah, that's it. And I know you do a lot of stuff on Formula One as well, right? So I think this is one
Yeah.
thing about sports car racing is in Formula One, you know, like today, Sainz won, everyone's like, oh, Sainz wins, you know, Formula One Australia. Whereas with us, like when we win, it's a bit more
Yes.
Vassal Lexus win. You know, and I just love that because none of us in racing, you know, there's quite a few racing drivers with big egos, think they're bigger and better than everyone else. But you know, none of us would be there without great teams, great people behind us, and people who've given us opportunities to be where we are. So I just love
Yeah.
that it brings all those people into it and highlights what a good job they do for us.
Yeah, and I will say, as much as I do love Formula One, since starting to watch more sports car racing, I am obsessed with it. It's just so
Good.
good.
Good. Happy to hear. Happy to hear. At the end of the day, we're all people who are on that journey, like I said, to Formula One, and we've ended up there. So
Yeah.
the quality of drivers is good, and I just love, especially in the GT classes, right? You know, you can see a Ferrari driving down your street, you know,
Exactly.
and then we're all racing them around awesome tracks like Sebring, Le Mans. So yeah, lot of customer relevance and viewer relevance. I love that, and happy to have you as a fan of sports car racing. Hopefully, Lexus too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely Lexus. I feel like the Lexus cars look so different to like the Ferraris, the Lamborghinis. You see them and they're like these big sharks in the background.
Yeah, well. Obviously, a lot of cars like Ferrari, Porsche got such a big racing background, right? That a lot
Yeah.
of their road cars are made on the back of racing. Whereas, certainly with our Lexus RCF, it was never intended to be a race car. It was kind of a bit of an afterthought. And the guys at Lexus Race USA, TRD, Toyota Racing Developments, done such a good job of turning that non-race car into what is now, you know, an IMSA Championship winning,
Yeah.
Sebring 12-hour winning car. And, yeah, obviously it is different, but it's fast. We get it round and do the job
That's
with
all
it.
that matters.
Exactly, that is all that matters, and it's great to be able to kind of, you know, we were the first Lexus ever to win Sebring. You know, it's great to be we're very special that myself, Jack, and Kyle were a part of that history now, right? And we're
Yeah.
kind of writing our names at the bottom of Lexus racing, and who knows where that's going to go 20, 30, 50 years down the line.
Amazing. What a great way to end this episode. Thank you so much for joining me and best of luck at the next race.
Thank you. Appreciate it.